This past Shabbos was Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Av. So I would imagine, like in my shul and many shuls, there's always a debate to say Avarachimim or not to say Avarachimim. So the first place everyone looks is the Art School Siddur. What does it say in the Siddur? We had a generation that we paskin from what it says in the Siddur. Shulchan Aruch is outdated. What does it say in the Siddur? That's a risky move, I think. But there is a debate amongst the paskin if we say Avarachimim, should we have said Avarachimim last Shabbos? What's the debate based on? It's based on a Ramon Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon writes that there's a minhag to say Avarachimim. That minhag started after the Crusades. After the Crusades in the end, 1000s, 1100s, when they had the first Crusades, second Crusades, they were misaking a tefillah called Avarachim. To remember those, it happens to be a very moving tefillah. It's a shame most people are still talking during it. It's a very, very meaningful and heartfelt tefillah, the Avarachim. So it was to mention those that were killed, al-Kiddush Hashem. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Mereish Pei Dalet. At the end, he says, we say this every week, except for Mevorachim the Chodesh, but some people, when the Mevorachim Chodesh, Bimei HaSvira, still say it. Mr. Burr explains that the reason is because Bimei HaSvira is when it happened. The Crusades, from a historical standpoint, most of it happened during the Bimei HaSvira. That's why during the Bimei HaSvira, we continue to say it, even though technically it's Shabbos Mevorach. So on that, Mr. Burr, he makes a comment. He says, V'hu adin, you don't say it on Rosh Chodesh Av. Why? Because the Churban Beis HaMikdash has nothing to do with the Crusades. Yes, it's sad, but it's a different type of sadness. The din is whenever it's connected to the Crusades. The Crusades had nothing special, specific about Tisha B'Av, therefore the Mishnah Berurah paskens, you don't say it. So all those people who don't say it follow the Mishnah Berurah. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, not like that. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no. He says that just like it's a sad month, you can't get a sadder month than Chodesh Av, so therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, of course it should be recited. So those are the two camps, to whether or not it should be or shouldn't be recited. The Vilna Gaon also held you should say Avarachamim. So I think people that are more gronics say Avarachamim, and those that follow the simple Mishnah Berurah, the regular reading of the Mishnah Berurah, would not say Avarachamim. In the Hirotzen that we say when we're Mevarachim the Chodesh, I just saw this past week from Rav Pam, a beautiful insight. What do we say? That we ask that it should be a Chodesh of Oysher and Kavod. So asks Rav Pam, we don't generally speak highly of Kavod. Kavod is something we run away from. Here we're asking Hashem, please make me wealthy and very famous. That's very against Jewish ideology. Says Rav Pam, no, kavod doesn't mean you're kavod. It means kavod, you should be mechabed others. Says Rav Pam, we want it to be, people should be honored, not you. It's not about your personal honor. You should go be mechabed other people. There should be a outpouring of kavod in the world. I would add, he doesn't say this, maybe that's also the oisher. We don't daven that we should be wealthy, because we know wealthy on its own is not going to help us. Oisher means that I can have money to help others. So I want kavod to give kavod to others. I want wealth to be able to spread the wealth to others as well. It's an interesting insight, something people that are afraid to show respect to others because it makes them feel less of a person. Like they're afraid to compliment someone because then that somehow reflects poorly on them. It's not so. Person should feel comfortable being able to mechabit others, just like we are able to share our money with others, even though that itself is a big nesayin. We should be able to be comfortable enough in our own shoes to be able to honor others as well. One other famous Ramah that comes out from last week's parsha, the Ramah learns in Simin Reish Pei Aleph, the Ramah writes halach lamaisa, you're supposed to daven later on Shabbos than you do during the week. It's a very important halach. You're supposed to daven later on Shabbos than you do during the week. I daven very early during the week, so for me, anything is later than what I do during the week, so I'm happy. But the Ramah on Shulchan Aruch, quotes of Mordechai, and he learns it out from last week's parsha. Because in the last week's parasha, when it talks about the karbanos of the weekday, it says baboike baboike, which implies early in the morning. And by Shabbos, it doesn't say. So writes the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, you see from here, you're supposed to get up a little later on Shabbos. However, Mr. Brewer does point out, this does mean you're allowed to miss Kriya Shema. Right? That doesn't, you got to get up and say Kriya Shema, then go back to bed. But this is one of the Makarios, and this comes up halacha l'maisa. Those people who daven Vesikin every day. When we did the Sugya Vesikin in the Tuesday night show, we spoke about it. Maybe you shouldn't daven Vesikin Shabbos morning. Maybe Shabbos morning should be your day that you wake up late. I know people that can't wake up late. Like, it's not in their bones. They don't know what to do. They're up at 5 o'clock every day, Shabbos. They're climbing the walls. I don't have that problem. But no, no, the Ramah, it's a pervert. It's perverted. Yeah, he doesn't say split. He says you can wake up. You're supposed to, yeah, you can learn, you can do other things. I don't know. There are people that tell me their moms can't sleep late. I don't have such an assign. My kids have this problem. They can't sleep late. So maybe those people who can't sleep and want to watch my kids would be a great shidduch. But I don't have such an assign to not be able to sleep late. Okay. In the parasha, last week's parasha, obviously the theme is Pinchas and is Kanoyas. But I think there's a misunderstanding in the world of A, what Kanoyas is, and B, what Shalom is. Right after Pinchas does what he does, and last week, in 2 weeks ago's Parsha, and Parsha's Pinchas, he's rewarded with the Brisi Shalom. He gets two unbelievable presents. One is the Brisi Shalom, the Nobel Peace Prize, L'Havdil, the Treaty of Peace, and he gets the Kuhuna. So if you were to reflect on the act that Pinchas did, they were the exact opposite of both the gifts that he was given. Kahuna is Oyev Shalom V'Oyev Shalom. Kohanim love everyone. What Pinchas did was not a very loving experience. He killed two people, one Jew and one non-Jew. The gift of the treaty of peace was not given to someone who did a very non-peaceful act. He did a violent act. So why was he given these gifts? So the answer is because we have a warped understanding of peace. We live in a PC world where peace means that I have to go along with everything you say and I can't disagree with you. If I disagree with you, that makes me a bad person. I have to agree with every krum idea that you have under the sun, and every warped idea that you have about ideology and morality, I have to agree with you. And if I, God forbid, speak out against you, I'm going to be labeled a racist, bigot, naming along the way. Says the Torah, that's not what shalom means. Shalom doesn't mean I have to go along with everything you're doing. Killing Zimri to the regular world was such a horrific thing. The answer was no, this is like shalom for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To Hashem, Zimri and Zimri doing what he was doing was the most horrific thing in the world. So killing him is not necessarily socially accepted shalom, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom. When a person brings shalom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what makes Hashem happy? What makes Hashem happy is kanoyim poigim ba. Killing this fellow is what makes Hashem happy. In the secular world, would that make happy? Absolutely not. That would make an uproar. But Pinchas lived a life of, it's not about what society thinks, it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. So why was he given the gift of peace? Because he made real peace. Real peace is not socially accepted peace, it's genuine peace. What's genuine peace? What makes Hashem happy. And Kanoyim Poigiba is what makes Hashem happy. So why was he given the kahuna? Because he actually loved Zimri. Pinchas loved Zimri. He loved him. Killing him was the best thing for Zimri. Not only was it the best thing for Klal Yisrael, was the best thing for Zimri. He loved him. He loved him with all his heart. Says Rabbi Aaron Cutler, if Zimri needed stock, I guarantee you Pinchas would have been the first one to write him out a check. He loved him. It wasn't a question of loving or not love. But sometimes when you love someone, this is what you need to do. If a person loves their child, they don't punish their children. Let them run wild. Of course not. That's not love. Love doesn't mean I let you do whatever you want and I allow you to affect me negatively. That's not love. Love means I love and I care about you and I care about me and I want it to work out. So Pinchas knew killing Zimri was best for Zimri, best for society, best for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, best for everyone. That although the world didn't look at it like that, that's because the world has, us today have perhaps a different way of looking at it. But that's really the idea. The idea is real love and caring for others is to ensure that I care about you, but you're toxic. I can't have you around. If a person has a neighbor or a friend that's you know, Jewish person, but they're just not healthy, so you'll help them as much as you can, but you're not going to invite them over and be mishalach them with your kids. Why? You don't love every Jew? Of course I love every Jew. That's not what loving every Jew means. Loving every Jew doesn't mean I have to dive into a conservative shul because I love conservative Jews. It means if they come and they need help, we're going to help them, and we're going to do whatever we can do. We'll give them money maybe, but that doesn't mean I have to give up my values for them. That's what Pinchas teaches us in Kanoyis. But Kanoyis, I think, is deeper than that. People think of Kanoyis as people getting up from podiums and screaming and yelling and writing strong articles and lighting garbage cans on fire. That's not Kanoyis. Kanoyis means to take a stand. That's all it is. To take a stand. Stand up for what you believe in. We live in a world today that everyone stands up for something. Either you stand up for your political side, you stand up for your sports team. You see people stand up with such pride, like, this is my team, but your team. You have nothing invested in this team. You don't make a dime if they win or if they lose. You don't even get to play. You don't even get to go to the games because the tickets are expensive, whatever it is. But they take such a stand up. You're insulting my team. It's my team. You're insulting my political candidate. It's mine. Everyone takes a stand on something. But kanoyis means you take a stand for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Pinchas did. He stood up for Hashem's glory. Hashem's honor was being broken down. He said, no, I'm going to take a stand. And no one else did. Everyone knew the same halacha as Pinchas. Pinchas wasn't the biggest Talmud Chacham. Zimri was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Pinchas, believe it or not. That's why the Klausenberger Rebbe writes that Zimri was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Pinchas, and therefore Pinchas wasn't sure, is he really allowed to kill him? Because maybe you're not allowed to hit your Rebbe. He was a bigger Talmud Chacham. He outranked him in Torah knowledge. But nonetheless, Pinchas was the one who took a stand. He went out of his comfort zone and he took a stand for something. And we find that later on in the parasha also, B'nai Tzlafchad. I give these five girls a lot of credit. They took a stand. Instead of being pushed over and saying, oh, listen, we don't have any brothers, we get nothing, we're going to move into Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to have a land. Okay, that's what it is. They took a stand. They stood up for something. They said, no. They loved Eretz Yisrael and they loved their father's honor. And they said, why should our father lose out? Why should we lose out? They took a stand. So often in life, people are afraid to take a stand. Yeah, stupid things, it's not worth taking a stand about. But if it's something of significance, if it's Kvoit Shemayim, if it's Hashem's glory, of course we should take a stand. But people think it's only done in a public forum. You can take a stand in public and private also. In your own house, you can have a stand on something. Right? Let's say, for example, people are doing something in your own house. You're with a group of friends and they're talking Lashon Hara, and you don't want to start rebuking them and wagging your finger at them. Fine, so take a stand. You know what the stand is? Don't join the conversation. Just space out. Don't listen. That's it. That's a stand. That's a stand. They're not joining Lashon Hara. That's a that's an active stand. If you're in shul and everyone's talking and you don't talk back to them, you're taking a stand. They're not talking in shul. You're not making it public and you're not going to be affronted. Fine. But Kanois is taking a stand on an issue and believing what you're doing is correct and being married for Shemaim. I think that's really the lesson of last week's parsha. The lesson is that we have to be able to take a stand on things. We're so afraid. You know, everyone looks at us, oh, you're the troublemaker, you're that, okay. That's when you make it public. When you do it private, no one has to know what you're doing. You're taking a stand on Kavod Shemayim. During these weeks, we're trying to be married with Kavod Shemayim. There was such a breach in Kavod Shemayim with all the Chorbanos, with the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. There was a breach in Kavod Shemayim. Our job in this world is to be married with Kavod Shemayim. I mentioned the Klausenberg Rebbe. I read a story this morning that I have to repeat because I find it fascinating about the Klausenberg Rebbe. It was a Yid who brought his son to the Klausenberg Rebbe and told the Klausenberg Rebbe, my son has no interest in learning. Not like most of many of the teenagers today. And the Rebbe said to him, well, what do you like to do? I like to watch movies. So the Rebbe said, okay, what else do you like to do? He said, I like to play chess. So the Rebbe said, oh, I also like to play chess. Let's play a game. If I win the chess game, you have to learn with me for 45 minutes. And if you win, you'll show me a movie. Klausenberger Rebbe. You'll show me a movie. So what do you think happened at the end of the story? So I was hoping for the guard to go the other way. The Rebbe lost. Let's see what happened then. But the Rebbe won. And he ended up learning with the boy. And he taught he showed the child what the beauty of Torah is. But there was another story about the Klausenberger Rebbe. This was in the DP camps, right after the war. So he was trying to gather people together for a minyan. And there was one fellow who said, Rabbi, I'm not joining. He said, why? He said, because I know you're not going to let me go to the movies. I'm expecting Germany to rebuild, and we're going to have movie theaters. I want to go watch a movie. So Klausenberg Rebbe said, come to Davin with me. The moment the movie theaters are open, I will pay for your ticket to the movie theater. They're not open yet, so come Davin. It's a whole different outlook on life, a whole different hashkafic outlook. Someone recently sent me a video about Rabbi Trink, who was just in Philadelphia. So there was a mice in his yeshiva. It was an interesting yeshiva where a boy stole his car Friday night, and he drove to the movie theater to watch a movie. We're not talking about 50 years ago. We're talking about probably within the last 10 to 15 years. And he found out about it. So now let's imagine, what would we do? A Talmud steals our car on a Friday night to go to a movie theater. Just, you know, to picture that. So he goes down, he walks to the movie. He stole his car and drove and went to the movie. So Rabbi Trank walks into the theater. He walks into the theater and he sits next to the boy and he says, you should know that popcorn's not kosher. That was it. Popcorn's not kosher. And he walks out.
It was on Shabbos.
That was the whole thing. Just, you know, I want you to know the popcorn's not kosher. It's a whole different way of dealing with kids. It's a whole different godless of these people. They knew how to talk to people in a way that they actually heard what they're saying instead of yelling. I mean, that's what Kanois is yell and scream and make big deals about things. Sometimes things are not accomplished when you do it in that venue. Sometimes you can accomplish much more with more of a loving, obviously Pinchas knew what he needed to do. I was talking to someone last night that we mentioned in the Chumash that the kasha is, why wasn't Pinchas demonic? The answer is because a Kanoi can't be a manik. I was talking to someone last night about this. He says, why not? It's because we know it can't work. That just leadership requires that you know how to deal with people individually and a certain sensitivity. That's what certain, again, Pinchas was a godly, wasn't a leader. To be a manik, to be a leader, you have to sometimes know how to talk to people and what to talk to them about. But that's a whole different idea of leadership. Okay, we're holding over here. We're on our fifth part of Atavas Dan Bris, but believe that today we will be going weiter into the Gemara and getting into some new sugyas as well. We left off last time. We were dealing with a difficult Ramon Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch is comments the following. After the Mechaber writes, when is the preferred time to do a Mila? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't do Mila until after Hanetzachama on the eighth day. Okay, this time of the year it's very early, Nate, so it's not such an issue. In the winter, this does present a big problem for those people who are time sensitive in the morning and they're making a morning bris and they're trying to figure out how early can they make the bris. So in the winter, you can't sometimes make the bris before 7:10. You could daven maybe earlier, but you can't do the bris before Hanetzachama. Hanetzachama in the winter can be sometimes after 7:00. So you're kind of, there's not much you can do. Says the Rama, Umishallah Shachi Yatza, but if you did the bris after Alois HaShacha, which is earlier than Hanet, so then Bidiyavid Yates. I don't think anyone wants to make the bris mila Bidiyavid. You know, this is a one time shot at this thing. You don't want to do it Bidiyavid, so we wait till Hanetzacham. Zakhtar Shulchan Aruch, V'chol Ayim Kashlim, you can do the mila whole day. Elish's reason, Makdim La Mitzvah, we like to do mitzvahs earlier, that's why we do bris milas in the morning. We do it right away. Even if you're doing a mila, it has to be done during the day. This is negiah to us. Again. So that we mentioned as machlokes between the Dvar Avraham and Reb Chaim about whether or not a mila shleibizmane has to be done as soon as possible. Whether or not you'll be in a violation of every minute this occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's just talking about day versus night. He's not saying how early in the day. He doesn't say that. He just says, that's the question. How to learn the Mechaber. Was he talking about both parts? When he said this din, was it on the above halacha or on the following halachas? Well, they discuss it. La halacha.
Love bismana before or love bismana after?
He means a shloi bismana afterwards. Let's say the baby was not healthy and the bris is going to be on the 10th day. So you figure 10 days, I'll do whatever I want. It's a free for all. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no, it has to be done only b'yayim. So we'll discuss a little bit more today.
If he's ready on the 10th day, you shouldn't wait till the 11th.
Correct. That's correct. You should do it as soon as possible. That's true. Right, but over here there's another element that there's a Rambam, depending on how you learn the Rambam, that the Rambam sounds like every minute you delay, there's a violation of your karis. That's correct. He doesn't pass like that. Right? We spoke about this, I think, at length a while ago, this shayla of halach l'maisa. This is negeya. A person has a midrash of his man and he wants to figure the bris to work out for family. Let's say, for example, he figures once it's not day 8, so I'll make it day 12, and I'll make it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, allow people to travel from New Jersey, work around people's work schedules. So that's machlokes between Reb Chaim and the Dvar Avram and the Covenant Rav. So the Ramah writes over here something important. Hagot. Avarum ol belayla. Let's say you didn't listen to the Shulchan Aruch, and you did the Mila at night. So Dr. Ramot Sarach Lachzul Hatid made a dambris. You have to do a tovas dambris. So this seems logical. You did the bris incorrectly, just like the case of Gerish and his Gayer or Noila's Mohol. You have any one of these incorrect bris milas. So we've been learning for the last five times that an incorrect bris is somehow fixed magically through a tovas dambris. So then the Ramot makes sense. The bris mila belayla is for sure no good. We have a drasha that you can't do a Mila Belayla. So Mila Belayla is out. So the way to fix it is with a Tavas Dambris. So that shouldn't be so shocking to us. That coming. Thank you.
Oh,
that's what we need to get to. Avar Umal Belayla when? Night of day 3 or night of day 11? What night? Now we know nights are out. There's a drasha in the Gemara. We learned this drasha probably 7 shurim ago. We had a drasha in the Gemara that you can't do Mila Belayla. Everyone thinks it's from the word B'yoyim. We learned it's not from the word B'yoyim. It's from a different pasuk, but it's a Gemara. Belayla's out. The question is, how out is Laila? So the Ramah says, you do a Mila Belayla, no good. Fine. Then the Ramah throws in a curveball. But Malu Teich Shmeina U'B'yoyim. Let's say you did the Bismila during the day, but it was before day 8. Zok the Ramah Yotza. Your Yotza. So the simple reading of the Ramah Yotza means, you don't need to do a Tavas Dambris. Which means this bris that was done before day 8 counts. Why? Because it was b'yoyim. You got at least the right time of the day. You got the wrong day, but the right time of the day. So this seems to be somewhat contradictory. We know that a milah teiches is no good. So if a milah teiches is no good, and a milah belayla is no good, why does one need a tafa and one doesn't need a tafa? What's the difference? So the Taz asks this kasha, number 2. Frek the Taz, v'su, mashikosev kam b'seifa mol teich shmeinu b'yoyim yotza, mashma she'en tzarech lachzul hatif. How do you simple reading of the Ramah? Yotze means you're good to go. You don't need to do anything else. Frek the Taz, ma'ishna mireisha. Why is it any different than the first part of the Ramah? Devada le'odif teich shmein mi'balayla. There's no reason to assume that doing a bris within the 8th day and doing it at night is any different. Then he says, v'chim muchach b'sim mireisha makadalo teich shmein ala v'midal klav. Not only that, I'll prove to you that doing a bris before the 8th day is a meaningless bris. How do you see it? From number 3, the Ramon Hilchos Mila in Reish Tamachdal writes the following halacha: Tinuk shehutzruchu lemoyloi teich shmeinu b'pnei hasakonim. I can't tell you I understand the medical case over here, but you have a baby who, for medical reasons, needs to have his bris before the 8th day. For whatever the reason, I don't really know why. So Zok, the Ramon wants to know, so who should be the moyl? Should you get a doctor? Should you get a rabbi? Who should you use? So says the Ramon, ain't chiluk bein Yisrael guy. It doesn't matter who you use. The chol teich shmeinu. Loi mikri mila. Doesn't matter. It's not a bris. So, 1 second. You say, what is the Ramah telling me? That toich ches is not a bris. So now not only is the Ramah himself shver, it should be a steering Ramah. If toich ches is not a bris, of course you need a tafas dam bris. You have nothing. So how could the Ramah write over here that if you do mila toich ches, you're yotza, which presumably means you're good to go, nothing else necessary. Of course something has to be done. You're missing a tavas dan bris. You don't have a bris mila, you have nothing. And maybe you'll tell me that the Ramah has this massive chiddush, which is really a shach later on, a shach over here really, we spoke about it the first year, that maybe you'll tell me a svara that no, that 8 days not ma'akiv toich ches is still a mila. So then you have a steer in Ramah, because here the Ramah says that if it's a mila toich ches, anyone could do it because it's not a mila. So what's going on over here? What is the status of Teiches and what is the status of Belayla? That's the Kasha on the Ramah. So the Stipler brings down a Teretz over here from the Sefer Emek Yeshua. He was an Achron. So he comes up with the following Lamdas. He says like this, number four, Zakta Stipler. This takes us back to all the last four shurim that we had about Noilid Mohol and all these other creative different possibilities in the Rishonim to when do you need Atafa, when you don't need Atafa. So he basically, if we'll skip down to, he quotes a Yerushalmi over here. He says over here, we'll skip to where it says, let's say you have a baby that's within 8 days. Is he ma'akif imini truma kidin oral? Do you look at a baby within 8 days as an oral, or he's not an oral yet? You only become an oral when you have a mitzvah to do the milah. Before 8 days, you're not an oral. You have an extra piece of skin, like you have an extra piece of skin on your toe. Doesn't mean anything. So he says, "V'lo yifshita ubitayisu shem kas b'shem Yerushalmi do orlo shleibes mani ene makfasim lechem chuma." No, an orlo before the time of the 8th day does not prevent you from eating chuma. Chaim pirush Rambam. So it says the Emek Yeshua, the Emkein, beautiful. Mehai Taima, the Noilin Mohol. That's why if a baby's Noilin Mohol, ain't Torah Latav Dambris. If you Shalah Yila Orla Meyolim. He never had an Orla. An Oral means I had an extra piece of skin that needs to be cut off. You never had that extra piece of skin. Again, putting aside Orla Kavusha, right. He's not working in Orla Kavusha, 100%. This doesn't work with Orla Kavusha. Right. We spoke about that. That was the back and forth we dealt with. When is there Orla Kavusha Chashashas and when is there Lomdusha Chashashas? Yeah. He's. That's right, we made Karban Pesach is different. That was a stipend we quoted a few weeks ago, that the things are different. Yeah. He's quoting the Yerushalmi. He's talking about the Yerushalmi. And we know the Yerushalmi has Xeris HaKasav for Atavaz Dambris. We mentioned that already a couple weeks ago. The Yerushalmi learns Atavaz Dambris from Xeris HaKasav. Himol Yimol. He doesn't learn it from the typical Arlu Kavusha like the Gemara by us. So therefore, says the stipend like this. Vim Kain. Fine. Hachinami. Nimo betoy ches ain't Tarach Atavaz Dambris. The Gamzel loy hoy loy Arlo me Oilom. You cut off the Orla day 5. So now he comes to day 8. Now it's day 8. He has no Orla. What are you supposed to do? He has no Chi of Mila. Mila is for those people that have an Orla and they have to figure out how to remove it. He's Orla-less. He came day 8 without an Orla. So therefore, says the Emek Yeshua, that's why Hatabas Dambris is not necessary. Why the hell do you shall me call Tech Shemaina Lava Orlahu? Because again, if you were born with an Orla and you removed it incorrectly, so that's what you have to reckon with. But you were never born with an Orla because by the time you came to day 8, the Orla was gone. And before day 8, the Orla doesn't count. So what are you left with? You have nothing.
Yeah. Why does a guy who had a meal and he never had a status?
That's what he's using. Earlier, that's right, the part that I skipped, was he was mad with those Rishonim based on this. Right. According to this Lom, this would explain the Machlokes Rishonim that we had of when the guy does need, when he doesn't need, depending on if a guy was Noilid Mahol, then he wouldn't need.
Even if he wasn't Noilid Mahol, he never has a status.
So that we spoke about. That we mentioned, someone argued in Nes Nekuda about whether or not, do you look at it at the time of his birth, or do you look at it at the time when he came for Gavis? We spoke about that's Machlokes Achronim. I wish I remember more things that I say, but yeah, that we spoke about. That's a real Machlokes Achronim about how do you view it? Do you view it at the time when he's born? Or do you view it at the time when he comes to the Mila? That's a machlokes.
No, but
there's a chiyuv. When the chiyuv kicks in, right, 100%. I think Rabbi Salveshi discussed this shiloh, this above shiloh. Okay. Because he never had a shame, it wasn't a shame oral. Right. That would answer the kasha as well. Right. Very gishmak. So says the disciple, so everything's beautiful. How do you explain the Ramah? So let's go back to be the Ramah. Over mobilailo, that's nothing. Amila Balailo. Is again, well, when was the Laila? You have to learn the Ramah over a mobile Laila after day 8. Because if it would be the night of day 3, it's the same thing. So you have to make a shtickle of Kimta and the Ramah. Over a mobile Laila, the Hainu, after the 8th day, when you already passed through the marker of Chiv Mila, and then you removed it incorrectly, so you had a incorrect removed Arla, so that you have to fix. However, Malu Toich Shmaina, but if you did it Toich Shmaina, Then it's not a problem. Now there's two ha'aris that you can make. First of all, what's the lashon yotza? It's not the pshat you yotza anything. It just there's nothing. There's no chiyuv. Yotza sounds like I got a check for a mitzvah. No, you didn't. You just have no sibas hamechayev because you have no orla to remove. No one would call that yotza. Yotza means I did something. I fulfilled something. You didn't yotza. It's just that now then it comes day 8, the guy has no arla left, and he removed it at a point where he didn't have a shame arl. So now when he comes to day 8, he has no arla, so he has no chiv.
Yotza meaning he's done what he has to do.
Right, that's what you're going to have to say. Okay. But generally, when we say...
It means pater.
Right, it means pater. Yeah. Right, so the question is, how of a doichik is that in the lashon of the Ramah?
When he says
the
Nemo.
Right, 100%.
No, I'm saying that...
He's not an oral.
There are two ways of looking at it, to be, like we said,
right. Either you do the check, or you took off the shame oral.
Right, so here, at least he did that. He answered with that.
Right, so yatza means he doesn't have the shame oral.
Seems like he has to do it during the day anyway.
So that's the other diglachar you can make. What's the emphasis of biyayim? It sounds like from the Ramah, the only reason why it works earlier is because it was biyayim. That's not true. Let's say it would be molu toich shmayin ubalayla. According to the Emek Shela, it would also be the same thing. So this Emek Shela's pshat is very hard to read into the Ramah. Now the nice thing about the Emek about the Emek Yeshua is it answers up the steam in the two Ramahs. How does it answer up this two? Because of Vada. According to the Emek Yeshua, Mila Teiches is not a Mila. That's why we don't care who does the Mila, because it's not a Mila. But now you want to know if I did a Mila Teiches, do I need to do something on day 8? The answer is no. You don't have to. But Avada, no one's going to say a Mila Teiches is a Mila, because it's not a Mila. That's why the Ramah, the second Ramah, number 3, that says a guy can do it, that makes a lot of sense. Because it's not a Mila. If it's not a Mila, why don't you do a Tavas Dambris? Because a Tavas Dambris is only necessary when you were once called an Oral. Since he was never called an Oral, a Tavas Dambris is not required. So, L'chaira, that pshat is very nice to answer up the steer in the Ramah, but it does not help us in the reading of the Ramah. So there's another pshat that everyone says over from Reb Chaim. The stipler says it himself, but no one gives the credit to the stipler, they give the credit to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim lived earlier, and when you hear Reb Chaim, you think more, you know, more lumdish than you hear from the stipler. You know, the stipler's svarim are terrific. The Kilas Yaakov svarim are a fantastic svarim to learn, but the Velt says it over b'shem Reb Chaim. So we'll see what Reb Chaim said, but the same idea is found in the stipler. Says Reb Chaim, how can we answer the stira in the Ramah? Zok Reb Chaim in number 5. Well, Yashiv Tamias HaShach, the Shach and the Taz, they both ask the Kasha. Now, what's the difference in a Mila Belaila and a Mila Teiches? Why does the Ramah draw a distinction between Teiches and Laila? Says Reb Chaim, "Al pi amavor b'gemar b'Shabbos." He quotes the Gemara on Shabbos. Shamu sham. The chol she'ein arnimol l'shmoina ain't a Teiches Shabbos. Any baby that's not going to have a bris on day 8 is not Teiches Shabbos. That's the principle of shaloi b'zmana ain't a Teiches Shabbos. Says Reb Chaim, "V'kibin da tovas dambris ain't a Teiches Shabbos." We know a tovas dambris is not Teiches Shabbos. So therefore, Zok Reb Chaim ain't tzarich shmini. There's no din at Tavas Dambris has to happen on the 8th day. Now, there's another piece of Reb Chaim over here, which I didn't photocopy. Reb Chaim basically lays out in another shtickle, like what we'd call two dinim in Bris. There's a din of Chatichas Orlo, there's a din of Tavas Dambris. Two mitzvahs nefredis, two separate procedures. There's a mitzvah to cut off a piece of skin. There's also a din to have blood come out. We mentioned this in passing a tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe discussed, let's say, for example, you do a bris where there is no bleeding. So Rav Moshe thinks you're not yaitza because there's two parts to the mitzvah. There's removal of the arlo, and then there's the din of atavas dambris. Zogt Rav Chaim, there's no din that atavas dambris has to happen on the 8th day. You don't have to. You can cut the meal on day 8 and do atavas dambris on day 12. The two don't have to work together.
Why does that one have to be on the 8th and not the other one?
It's what?
Part of the bris.
So we'll see in a second why that.
Maybe that, it's not Tosha Shabbos, but maybe really the Hikar Din is that it should be on the 8th.
So one second. So Reb Chaim's bringing a Raya. This is where it gets interesting. Reb Chaim's Raya. But the question is, who told Reb Chaim this? If there are two Dinim and Bismillah, so one would have assumed they'd follow each other, right? So Zot Reb Chaim, no, they don't follow each other. How do I know, says Reb Chaim? So he brings a Raya. We'll see the stipler goes a different route, but Reb Chaim has a Raya from the fact that Atovas Dambris is not Deicha Shabbos. That's his big right. The fact that Tavas Dambris is not Deicha Shabbos, so I learned from there also that you don't need Shmini. Okay? Says Reb Chaim, Avom Tzarech Tavas Dambris k'may b'mil atzmo, v'mei l'micha. The k'shanim o b'layla, Zok Reb Chaim, unbelievable chiddush. When you do a Tavas Dambris at night, when you did a bad mila at night, you at least did it at Tavas Dambris. That happened. You didn't properly cut the arla, but the Tavas Dambris definitely took place. So Meir Zok Reb Chaim like this. When you did the Mila Belayla, Adayin Tzarech Tavas Dambris, Mishum the Din of Tavas Dambris, Havikam Kim Yoyim. Says Reb Chaim, the Din of Tavas Dambris, that needs Yoyim, but it doesn't need Yoyim Shmini. We're really splitting hairs over here. It's really splitting hairs, Reb Chaim. We'll see in a second. Let's just get the Yisoid out. Zok Reb Chaim, so when you did a Bris Belayla, so you got nothing. You got no credit. You didn't get the Mila, you didn't get that tough. You got to do it again. He can't do a Tavas Dambris again. You already did it. That part of the equation is checked off. So, which is, it comes out, and interesting, you could do a Tavas Dambris before you do the Maisa Mila. We always assume they all happen b'vaz achas. Says Reb Chaim, no, two separate mitzvahs. You need to have blood come out, and you need to have a bris. So the blood came out, check, cut the arlo later tomorrow.
Why necessarily follow any of the rules
It's a mitzvah. Right, let's say I thought Dambris could be done by a guy.
Yeah.
Right, it's a whole separate thing. So the assumption of the Achrayim is that it's somehow, some way in the family of Mila. The question is to what extent. So if you
Tavas Dambris we usually do not because it didn't happen the first time, it's because I did something wrong.
Right.
The bris,
and there's no more earlier to cut off, so that's, I have no choice. The only thing I can do...
That's one way. That's the typical case. But we were medayik from a Rashi and Daf Kuf. Where was it again? Rashi, somewhere in the Perek. And from the Yushami, then, no, there's a din that every bris is supposed to have blood come out. It's a din. That's what Reb Chaim's assuming.
I understand.
Nothing to do with fixing. It's not a fixing. It's part of the procedure. That's where Moshe writes in the Tshuva.
You're talking here about a case where you did somehow, you cut the arla, but no blood came out? Is that what we're talking
about? Here we're talking about a regular case. The guy botched up the timing. He did the milah on the third day. So blood came out. You can't deny the fact. Blood came out. So that had tovas dan bris element of the bris was already yotze.
Right.
So Dr. Reb Chaim, that's okay. I was done before day 8. That could be done before day 8. The chatichas arla can't be done before day 8.
So now what do you have to do after day 8?
Nothing. Because you can't cut another arla,
and
there's no need for a tavas dambris. That's how Reb Chaim answers up the steer in the Ramah. That's Reb Chaim's mahalach.
Why do you have to do a second time?
To what? Cut the arla?
No, you can't cut the arla a second time.
Why? You yaitz already. You yaitz. You yaitz according to Reb Chaim. You could do it before day 8.
How Lila after
Shmona? Okay, good, good. That's what we need to see.
But what does anybody else hold, Rabbi? They don't hold.
Most of us assume a tavas dambris just goes along with the bris.
That's what I'm saying. In the case where he did on the third day, he did everything.
So we would assume you need to do a tavas dambris. Yeah, that's what we would assume.
No, that's just one element.
Yeah, I mean, the Ramah told us not like that. If we didn't have the Ramah, meaning if we didn't have this Ramah on Shulchan Aruch, and I threw the question out to, you know, just what does everyone think? I think most of us would assume it's no good. We have to do a tavas dambris. Says the Ramah, no, it is good. And now we're just trying to figure out how this differs than Belaila. The Ramah says if you do the bris milah Belaila, you need to do a tafa. If you do the bris milah during before the 8th, you don't need to do a tafa. That's the question. So Dr. Chaim, because a tafa dam bris is a procedure unto itself, and sometimes it's kosher and sometimes it's not. If it's before the 8th, it's kosher. A laila, it's not. That's Reb Chaim's. Doesn't sound like it. That's a good question.
Be satisfied if it's done in conjunction with cutting off the arla. What if I didn't cut off the arla and I just let blood out?
So it sounds like from over
here. When the arla is there, I just
that's what happened. Over,
I mean, is that all I did?
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that might be good also. It's a big chiddush. Again, we did see a Rashi like that. That there's a pasuk based in the Navi that the part of the bris is the blood. There's an element of blood coming out. This is Reb Chaim's yisoid.
That's
now,
by, if a guy does a milah, he's doing a circumcision,
right?
But there's no kavana for a tavas dam bris if a guy would do it,
right? So I would assume if you hold maybe like this, then maybe a guy could do the element of a tavas dam bris even if he can't do the milah part. That's you're not in the klal of the mitzvahs. I was mesupik. Should we talk about goy doing milah? It's a big Stephen Rambam, but
there's no kavanah.
You don't need a kavanah to make a milah.
So why can't a guy do it?
Because he's not in the parsha. He can't be a shliach for me. He's not in the parsha of milah. So you might be like a bidyevet case, right? It might be that. That's a question. Whether or not Tzipora, whether or not women could do milah.
No, but she did it. So did they come out again?
No, that Gemara talks about it. I forgot already how it goes. The Gemara talks about how she was allowed to do it. Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about women. Maybe we should maybe talk about it. Once we're ready, I thought we could go weiter a little bit. But maybe we should at some point talk about... There's a steer in Rambam about can a guy do a milah? Yeah, it's a shayla. If a guy does a milah, you have to do a tavas dam bris. That's a discussion. That is a discussion. This is Reb Chaim's side. Okay, so if you accept Reb Chaim, everything is very geshmak and everything is answered. Now, if you look in the...
He doesn't answer for Laila.
How he knows it.
Yes.
Right. He doesn't answer. So if you look in the stipler...
Is there anyone that's worked specifically on this point against Reb Chaim and just says, like, I think we all would assume that a tavas dam bris is just... It's a necessary component, but it's really just an adjunct to the main thing.
We're going to see. There's a very big kasha. There's a very big kasha that supposedly Baron Cutler asked to Biskarov on this Reb Chaim from source number 7, which we'll hopefully get to in a second, which is a similar kasha to what you're asking, but we can back it up with a mishnah to perhaps even make it stronger. So if you look in the stipler number 6, after the stipler said the exact same shah as Reb Chaim, he backed it up perhaps a little bit more. He writes like this, Vahisoid l'chalik. Basically, why do I think there's a difference between a milah toiches and a milah b'layla? What's the difference? Says the stipler, the din shmoinah enei el ikar mitzvah milah v'lo yotav esdambris. So, because the din of 8, that's the mitzvah of milah. V'lo yotav esdambris. V'din b'yoyim v'lo b'layla emar namal mitzvah yotav esdambris. That's basically Reb Chaim's chiluk. That's the chiluk. Now, why should it be that way is the question. We can all make these types of chiluk and we have to figure out why. So he says, muchach mikayach sugis ha-gimara. Says the stipler, this idea, this chiluk of Reb Chaim / the stipler is based on the Gemara. Why? Shari din zed demol belayla tzarech tavas dam bris. Because how do you know if you did a mila belayla you need to do a tavas dam bris? It's a Mishnah. Mishnah says in the second parak of Megillah, the mitzvasa mishatene tzacham. Mishnah gives a whole list of things that can only be done after hanei tzacham. Veloy belayla, and not be done the night before. V'kachoshev nami mila. And one of the lists of things is mila. Utnana, on that Mishnah it says, the kulan sha'asim ishalom al-shachar kasha. And all of the above that are not supposed to be done until after Hanetz, if they were done after Alois, they're kasha. Bim Tim Salim says this type, but 1 second. If you tell me now that b'diyevik kishamal balayla ain't tzarech lachos l'hadda dam bris, if you tell me now that a mila dam balayla is acceptable and a tavas dam bris is not required, so what do you mean b'diyevik if you did it after Alois? Every time, if you did it at night, it's also kasha. Well, why is the Mishnah telling me that the earliest acceptable time for a bris milah is after Alois? No, it's not. The earliest acceptable time for a bris, if it's done at night, and you don't have to do a tavas dam bris. Elamai, what do you see from the Mishnah? That a mila balayla is taka pasul. And you need to do a tavas dam bris. Now, he's not explaining it to Stipler. He's just proving it. He's pulling a card from Reb Chaim's book. He's not telling you a lumdus, he's just showing you a fact. He's proving to you from the Mishnah, Megillah, that a mila balayla does require a tavas dam bris. So that's half of the equation. Reb Chaim had two parts to his chiddush. That a mila balayla is pasul, a tavas dam bris balayla is pasul, but a mila toiches is kasha. So Reb Chaim brought one half of the raya, and now the Stipler is bringing the other half of the raya. The Stipler is proving to you from the Mishnah Megillah that a tavas dam bris balayla is no good. How do you prove it, says the Stipler? Because it says in the Mishnah that mila can only be done after nates. But b'diavid, it's after alois. What do you mean b'diavid? Unless you did it at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's also good, because you cut off the arlo, you can't recut something that was cut, and you don't need a tavas dam bris, because a tavas dam bris balayla is kasher. So what do you mean, alois is the earliest time it's yaitse b'diavid? No, nighttime is the earliest time it's yaitse b'diavid. Says the Stipler, no, it's not, because nighttime is not kosher. Because hatavas dambris done balayla is not a valid hatavas dambris. That procedure needs to be done repeated again in the next morning. So therefore, says the Stipler, oh, that's where I get it from.
That's Reb Chaim had to know that Mishnah.
Reb Chaim didn't quote that Mishnah. I don't know why he didn't feel necessary to quote that part of it. Reb Chaim only quoted the other part. How do you know that it doesn't need ches? Reb Chaim was explaining the other part of the Chiddush. How do you know that Hatavas Dambris doesn't need Ches? It's Reb Chaim, from the fact that Hatavas Dambris is not Doich HaShabbos, anything that's not Doich HaShabbos doesn't need Ches. That's how I know it. But
it's a Pashat of Mishnah, Reb Chaim is giving you alumnus.
Reb Chaim is giving you alumnus. So again, no one's explaining it to me from a logical standpoint. They're all proving it to, from Gemara here, Gemara there, which again, that was the Soloveitchik way of learning. It was more of just prove it to me and don't ask so many questions. But okay. Im kabalnu kabalnu, we'll accept it. That's Reb Chaim's Yisoy, and these are the rayas that the Acharonim bring. But the, yeah.
How does the fact that it doesn't, that it's not Doch HaShabbos prove that?
Because it means you don't need to, it doesn't have to be done on that day. If it had to be done on that day, it would have to be done on Shabbos as well. So what's the kasha on Reb Chaim's pshat? So they ask a kasha, there's a sefer, I have a Rebbe of mine, he was my Rebbe in high school, so he said, Shana Blas Demil, he gave me his notes. He's a Choshev Yid. His name is Rabbi Akiva Wiener. He's a son-in-law by Rabbi Braunschweigel. If anyone learned by him. So he's my Rebbe in high school. So he has some of these from I've never heard of. I don't know where he finds them. So he found a sefer where he says a story where the Briskerov, where Aaron Cutler met the Briskerov and he had a kasha on Reb Chaim's pshat. What was his kasha on Reb Chaim's pshat? From this Mishnah number 7. It says in the Mishnah, Misha Hayilo Shnei Tinaikis. This is the Mishnah we spoke about before a couple of times. Someone had two babies. Echad lomol achar Shabbos, ve'echad lomol b'Shabbos. One baby's supposed to have the bris on Sunday, one baby's supposed to have the bris on Shabbos. And they swapped the babies. V'shachach, they forgot, umol es shal achar Shabbos b'Shabbos. And they bring the baby that was supposed to have the bris on Sunday, got it on Shabbos. So what was this? A bris mu'uktim. It was an early bris. So this is, so it says over there, chayef. The moyol is chayef for violating the Shabbos. Why is he chayef for violating the Shabbos? Zok Rashi, number 8. The Torah b'dvar mitzvah. He made a mistake in a matter of mitzvah, but he didn't do any mitzvah. For Ovid Lechabur, he made an unnecessary wound. So obviously this Mishnah is against the famous Shach that we opened up the parak with on our first shiur. The Shach says, no, a mila earlier than Deiches is Yatzah. So then how do you learn this Mishnah? This Mishnah says clearly, you're Tobit Var Mitzvah, Veloy Ovid Mitzvah. But Frecht Reb Aaron Kotler to the Biskarov, according to your father, what do you mean Veloy Ovid? He did a mitzvah. He did a mitzvah. Atavas Dambris. How can you call it Loy Ovid Mitzvah? You did something. The other chelik of the Mila was accomplished. Good, you didn't cut the Arla at the right day. Fine. But according to you, Reb Chaim, that Hatovah Dambris is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai. And it doesn't need Yom Ches, so that part you are Mekayim.
You did a mitzvah was not relevant to Shabbos. What do you mean? We're talking about the mitzvah that's Doch HaShabbos.
No, that's not the point. The point is you didn't do a mitzvah. You did a mitzvah.
Why are you doing
that? We're assuming there's no mitzvah because it was too early. Terry says, but according to Reb Chaim, you could do Atavas Dam Bris early.
No, but Shabbos is like night. The same, that's what Reb Chaim opened with. That just
why
like,
is Shabbos like night?
That's what he said, that where he started with.
Because it's not Doichim?
Yeah.
Shabbos is like nice. The same way yeah. he's on Tavadam, a night is on
Tavadam. But why? Shabbos. Why would Rebbe Chaim?
I don't know. That's...
Yeah, I'm saying it.
No, but I don't understand. I don't what's know. The relevance of the fact that he did a mitzvah? What if while he was on the bris, he gave tzedakah?
No, because so no, because the sugya over there.
Nothing to do with Shabbos.
No, because the sugya over there is trying to figure out if he's chayav chatos. Yeah. If he did an avera, was he shaygig b'Shabbos? The answer is the Gemara is a rule. Tavad v'amitzvos.
The avera part that he did was what was the avera that
he made a chabura. For no reason.
And that means that letting the blood or yeah. cutting the mitzvah.
That was what we, depending on how, whatever you learn the mitzvah, whatever the Isser Chabur is in Amila.
I don't know, I'm saying.
We spoke about
this. Cutting the Arla, maybe it's cutting the Arla.
No, that's
he cut the Arla and he wasn't supposed to.
Right, so what? But he still.
So that's the Aveda that he did, because he didn't accomplish any mitzvah by cutting the Arla.
Yes, he did, because blood came out.
Blood was a separate thing that blood, came out.
No, but it happened when he cut the Arla. Okay, let's assume like Taisavis
and. Right, he's like, Kivan that Tavazim is Eid of the Shabbos, Eid Sarah Shemini.
Right. That's true. That means lechatchila we don't do it on Shabbos, right? I'm not disagreeing. This was, you know, but you can't say he didn't do a mitzvah. This is the kasha. So my Rebbe writes, there's a sefer written by Reb Chaim Shlomo Leibowitz. He was a nephew by Reb Baruch Ber. He was the grandfather of a brother-in-law of mine, with the same last name, Leibowitz. So he has a sefer where he's miyashiv. I don't have the sefer. I couldn't find it. But this is a shtaka kasha. I think it's a very strong question. This Mishnah sounds very strong against Reb Chaim's. You said, okay. Hadron Chalon, the Sugi of Atavas Dambris, and now we're ready to move on. By no means did we finish the Sugi of Atavas Dambris, but I think we have to move on. Well, huh? The truth is, it's really a kash on the Shach. And we spoke about this. The Shach asks us, the Shach quotes, in the first year we mentioned that the Ramah seems to say you could do a bris mila before the eighth day. So, frek the Shach. What do you do with this Mishnah? So, it's really it's a kash really on the idea of doing a mila before the eighth day. Okay, we're moving on. Meaning, because of the Averi, mean?
Yeah.
Right, but over there, the Sugya of Tobit Bar Mitzvah, the whole point is that it's Tobit Bar Mitzvah, Veloyos Mitzvah. Over there, the sugya over there is Chayiv Chatos. That's the sugya over there in Kofel Amidzayim. Okay, let's move on. Let's start a new sugya.
Nobody says a Tavas Dambris is a mitzvah by itself.
That's
the money of mitzvahs, right?
Mitzvah. Correct. But the question is, Reb Chaim has a lot. The truth is, if anyone remembers, 2 weeks ago we quoted another Reb Chaim, where Reb Chaim learned that Tavas Dambris was a chelek of the mitzvah of Mila. Now we're saying Reb Chaim is a steer. There's a steer in Reb Chaim. My Rebbe points that also. It's a steer in Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim at one point writes, it's a chelek. That's why Reb Chaim said, why don't you make a bracha on just, if anyone remembers the famous Reb Chaim, why don't you make a bracha just on a Tavas Dambris? Dr. Reb Chaim, you only make a bracha on a full mitzvah. You mean only bracha on a full mitzvah? According to you, it's two separate mitzvahs. It's a steer in Reb Chaim.
It depends when you're doing that. When the Hatavas Bris is part of the Mila, that's a chelek of the Mila. When doing it independently,
I don't know. If you look in Reb Chaim, the Reb Chaim in Hilchas Shechita writes that the reason why we don't make a bracha, because we had the kasha, the Rambam writes, you don't make a bracha on a Tavas Dambris on all the cases that we learned. When you're just doing a Tavas Dambris, no bracha. The question was why? So we mentioned that one of the commentators in the Rambam have a line like this of Reb Chaim, or someone says like this because it's not a full mitzvah. And Reb Chaim writes, Mefurish, you only make a bracha on the whole mitzvah. So that implies like it's a part mitzvah. And now we're saying Reb Chaim is understanding as two independent mitzvahs, two mitzvahs nefrodis. That's the way Reb Chaim writes it, two mitzvahs nefrodis. Okay. Maybe we should talk more about Tavas Dambris, but I thought everyone was already bored about Tavas Dambris. I thought everyone was ready to move on. But okay, either way, well, let's get out and move on. We got to cover some blot in the parak. Okay, so the Gemara starts like this. Tan Rabbanan. Yeah, we're working our way there. We'll be there in a few days. Zog the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. Mila doiches etzras. A new sugi that we're going to get into, which is really going to bring us back to the old sugi of Asay Dechalos Asay, so we could say we're learning Givamos. We're on the next page, number 9. Dr. Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan. If anyone ever looks up the Gemaras inside that we're learning, we're on Kuflam Bebez on the base. Okay? Dr. Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan. Mila doiches etzras. Mila is doiches etzras. What does that mean? There's a violation to cut off a tzras. But what happens if the baby punked happened to have tzras on his makam arlo? So you can't get a worse thing than that. So what are you doing now? What is the male supposed to do? So this halach is he cuts it off. So the mitzvah of mila pushes aside the isser of cutting a tzaras. Beim is mana, beim shlo is mana, irrelevant to what status the bris has. Whether it's...
Why would you think it matters?
Because we're going to see in a second, based on where we learned it from, it might matter. We'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes. Then the Gemara drops in a somewhat irrelevant halacha, but we're going to talk a little bit about it because it's lamdish. Yomtif ain't a doicha ela bezmana bovad. But a mila on yomtif... It's only doichi yamtif when it's bismane. That's the comment. So if you look over in number 10, there's a ber haloch and hilchas yamtif in tof kuf yud ches. Tof kuf yud ches is the haloch and shulchan aruch that talks about mitoich. So the shulchan aruch writes that let's say because you're allowed to carry the tzarech achila, you're allowed to carry shalei the tzarech achila. What are the examples, says the shulchan aruch? You want to carry a child. So what does he mean? Why is it mutter to carry a child? So if you look in the ber haloch number 10, he quotes what he wrote in Mishnah Berurah, and he wrote, Now, you're allowed to carry a child because it's part of Simchas Yom Tov. You're going to leave your kid at home, you're going to leave your kid in the street. You need to bring your kid, you got to carry your kids from point A to point B. Therefore, it's called Letzorech Hayoyim. You need today. You need to be able to carry your child from point A to point B. It's justifiable under the rule of Mitoich. Says the Mishnah Berurah, according to Nasa Zabar Halacha, number 10. The Koshkin Lahotzi Katim Men Shemeni Yom Kedei Lemoyle. Let's say you have a bris, and you got to carry the baby. Right? People have this thing that on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry without an Eruv. That's not true. You have to carry Letzorech. So there's less and less communities today that don't have Eruvin, but for those communities that still don't have an Eruv, so on Yom Tov, it's like, oh, Geshmach, we finally get to carry. Not so poshut. There has to be Letzorech Hayoyim. It has to be that the carrying is justified for some form of a reason, not just because, you know, why not? Because I could carry, so I will carry. Okay, most of the things we carry, there's some form of a reason for it. You're carrying a water bottle because you want to drink, you're carrying a tissue because you might have to blow your nose, whatever. Most of them are Letzorech. So says the Mishnah Berurah, let's say you want to carry a baby to bring him to his bris milah. Right, let's say you live in a community that has no Erev. So on a regular Shabbos, it's very tricky. How are you going to have the bris milah in the house? That's what they do. So it's Yom Tov, so you're like so excited. It's great, it's Yom Tov, I can carry the baby. Yeah, you can carry the baby to the shul and have the meal there, then you can bring the baby back. What happens, says Mr. Bura, to who tzarech mitzvah ha-shayich lois yoyim? Because that's a mitzvah that's based on today, because you have to do the bris today. Kemavur b'taisvus. Ula achash mayni yamim. Let's say the baby is delayed. So now you want to give the baby a bris on day 12, and day 12 is Yom Tov. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the father also loitzi that you can't carry that baby. The also lemoyla be yom tif. You can't give him a bris mila on yom tif. Because the Gemara just said mila ain't b'shalib is mana ain't a derech yom tif. The Gemara makes a drasha. I apologize for not giving away the secret. The Gemara makes a drasha in the next Amar Kuflam and Gimel Mar Aleph. We'll get there soon, Mr. Shem. But the Gemara makes a drasha that it's not. But the fact is, it's not. So how could you? So then it's pashut. You're not allowed to carry the baby because that's an unnecessary carrying. Right. That's regular carrying. Says the Be'alacha, V'ra'ah b'chidushav kasav d'bezeh chayiv malkus alayt zosei. That's a lav. That's carrying mamish for unnecessary carrying. It's awesome. Kevon? Aschai Neses, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of the sugya. Yeah, that was like the third share already. Yeah. Aschai Neses, that's me and the babies, right?
But why would you think Kevon is more chamer than Shabbos? In other words, if it was Bisman on Shabbos, you would be able to do whatever you have to do.
Okay, right?
But it's Shalai Bismana here. It's Shalai Bismana and Yom Tov. Yeah. The problem is, says the Be'alocha, Udover Pelar Isi Ba'or Zeruah. I saw an amazing thing in the Or Zeruah. What does he write? The Af Echod Acha Shmeini Yomim Motoloi Tzi B'Yom Tov L'Moyloi Tuhu Tzorich Mitzvah. Unbelievable. The Or Zeruah says if you have a bris milah after day 8, you're allowed to carry the baby on Yom Tov because that's considered, and you're allowed to give him a bris milah also because it's Tzorich Mitzvah. Against the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Frank the Be'alocha of Ali Mishnah Mufuresh is Beshabbos, Kuflam Zayin, the Mila Shabbos Mani, and the Dech Yom Tov. What is the Arzurah talking about? How can you do that? Again, there's two issues. There's a carrying issue, and there's the Mila issue. Neither of them seem to be justified by the Mishnah. So if you can't do the bris, you can't carry the baby. Comes along the Arzurah, no. The baby is 15 days old, or let's say, for example, the Arzurah, it seems like the Arzurah is really talking about, let's say you have a Gadol. A guy grew up in communist Russia, never had a bris. He's 15. He decides, you know what? I want my bris on Yom Tov. He figures it's a good time to have a bris mila. He wants it on Yom Tov. So it can't be done on Yom Tov. That's a mila shlevis money. He can't carry anything or him or anything. Let's say the baby's now a year old and the baby now had medical issues. That's a shlevis money at the highest level. That's not doichi Yom Tov. So how can you carry?
What's the issue of doing a bris on Yom Tov? Other than the Mishnah saying you can't.
So the Gemara has a pshat. The Gemara has a whole drasha from burning. I think it's burning carbonus. The Gemara says it wasn't about burning chum, by Noiser, right? The Gemara learns from Noiser that you have to do it before if it can be done. We'll see in a second. I don't want to give it away because good. Says Shmuel Rizovsky in his Shurim on Psachim, says Shmuel Geshmak Pshat. He wants to make heads and tails of this Arzura, and he basically says why Tak is a Milo Shaloi Bizmane in a Derech Yom Tov? Because again, Yom Tov, everything that's Mut on Yom Tov is the Tzorech Hayoyim. It's to be done for today. I can't be making from today to tomorrow. Everything's got to be for today. So how can I justify a mila today? So if it's bismanoi, so then that's it. It's time sensitive.
But it's the first day when you can.
Good. So let's get to that. Says Reb Shmuel, Ach l'fishmak asav miyoshav Shabbos. The arzurua yisbar, the arzurua holds. The hagam the gemara isa stoma the mila shabbosmanoi any derech shabbos lo yamtiv. Here's Reb Shmuel says an unbelievable chiddush lahalach. We have a mafurish mishnah. We saw it in our Gemara. Mila shleb zman is ein adich yom. So we assume that to mean all babies, all in every case. Says Reb Shmuel Zofsky, not so fast. Hasem ayri mitzad dechia. That's with regard to dechia. Vazek amad mitzad dechia ein adich. Ulam begadol shari loy mitzad dechia el mishum dehavit tzerech hayom. Zok to Reb Shmuel, you know why a gadol is allowed to have his bris after on Yom Tov? Because for him, it's Tzarech Yom Tov. It's Tzarech Hayom. Why is his Tzarech Hayom? Because the Ha'ova Kol Yoy Maseh Shel Karis. We go back to that Rambam that we spoke and argued about so many times. Zaktub Shmuel, so if you have a baby that's now on the ninth day, there's no Karis, not for dad and not for the baby, according to one way of reading the Rambam. So there's no justification for cutting this baby today. What's the Tzarech? What's mitoich? Mitoich shehotro le tzarech, hotro le this. Where's the tzarech? There's no tzarech to do it tomorrow. But for a guy who's now 20 years old, and now every day you delay, and every minute you delay, he's going to get another assay. So that's the tzarech. So he's learning that that's referring to a baby shaleh bismane. He's drawing this massive distinction. There's two types of shaleh bismane. There's a baby, then there's an adult shaleh bismane.
What's the difference?
So a baby shaleh bismane, there's no violations of karis, so then it's not tzarech.
Why? Because
the Torah never said that you have to do it today. So therefore, if you don't have to do it today, it's not Yom Tov, it's not Doiche Yom Tov, because it's not needed for the Yom Tov. But so part of that discussion was depending on what type of baby it was. We also draw this distinction, Reb Chaim discussed this as well. Is that talking about every baby or only a baby that's already a gadol, and he'd have the karis? Because who's going to get the karis? Every minute that you wait, not the baby and not the father. So it only is once you're gone.
The karis isn't until you die.
That's the Ravid sheet. That's the Ravid's hasag on the Rambam,
but
right?
That's
the Ravid's opinion, right? The Rambam assumes that someone's going to get karis at one point. The question is who? So it can't be the baby, it can't be the father. So we mentioned a pshat a while ago from my Rosh Hashiva, Zalag Epstein said a pshat, that it's really the father's chiyav done through the kid, and therefore the karis might go back on the father. We dealt with this. But here, Reb Shmuel is suggesting a massive halachic chiddush, that when the Gemara says that Mila is not Deich Yontif, that's a regular baby. A baby that was sick, and now the baby is 10 days old. But if you have someone who's older, he's a gadol, and now every minute you delay the bris, he's violating an asay, so that's called Tzarech Yontif. I need to do it for the sake of Yom Tov. Zaktub Shmuzovsky, that's Mutter. And that's the Pshat in the Arzaruah.
So would he say at night also?
No, because you can't do a Mila. You can't justify Al Silchus Mila. Al Silchus Yom Tov, maybe.
No, that's fine. Yeah, but Al
Silchus Mila. No, because, no.
So you wait till Shachar.
That's right. Right. I mean, what Shmuel's point is, there's two elements over here. There's Al's Dechiyah, Al's Mitzvah, and there's Al's Heter, that's Tzarech Yom Tov. That's Reb Shmuzovsky's nice Pshat, how to answer up a very difficult comment in the Arzaruah. I want to get to that on page 3 at some point. We'll see in this, if we continue on, we'll see. So everyone knows when does Karis first kick in? 20. Everyone knows that. Rashi Chumash, Pashas Chayisar. So we'll see today, I hope today, if not Blinada next week, that might not be so Pashat. That might not be.
A 19 year old guy, so he doesn't get the.
Right. That's right. That's correct. That would be a very big nafkamina. Right. Hopefully we'll get to that at some point. Probably not this week, but believe not the next week. So let's go back to the Gemara. So back to the Gemara. Menar Mili. How do you know that Mila is Doicha Tzaras? Again, we have a violation. We have to discuss what type of violation is it. Why can't you cut off a Tzaras? You want to cut off a Tzaras. It's bothering you. It's annoying you. You cut it off. So we know there's Psukim in the Torah that talk about cutting off the Tzaras. So we'll have to see if it's a lav. Is it a lav with an assay? What exactly the prohibition is? So the Gemara says, "Minar Mila, how do you know Mila is Deichet Tzaras?" Itan Rabbanim. Yimol Besar Alosa. You should cut off the Besar Alosa. V'yaf Bishesham Beheres Yikoitz. The Torah tells you, get it done. I don't care how, what, when. Get it done. Cut it off. If there's something in the way, cut that off as well. Don't worry about anything. Get the final result. Ay, umani mikri. So Rashi learns that the word Basar is extra. It should have just said Yimol or Lasai. What's the word Besar? So it's like Rashi, it's a Riboy. I didn't see other Rishonim that learn like that.
We're going to get to that.
That's going to be our extent of our getting into Yevamos. We're going to talk about Asay Decholos, say probably not next week, maybe in the following week. Says the Gemara, Yimol Besar, Lasaf Bishay Shom Eres Yikos. Ay, umani mikayim Hishom Beneg HaTzeras. Ay, what I do with the Pasuk that says Hishom Beneg HaTzeras, be careful not to cut off the Tzeras. So the Teres, Bishar Mikayimus, Chos Mimila. That means anywhere else on the body. The Torah wrote it, Isser of cutting off a tzaras. That's if a tzaras is on the foot, the hand, the head. But if it's a tzaras on the meal, that you're allowed to cut off. Or maybe not. Ayena el afilu milo. Maybe not. Maybe when the Torah wrote, don't cut off a tzaras, it's all parts of the body. Ay, umani mikayim yima basar losa. So what do I do with the fact that the Torah says, yima basar losa, bisman shema beharis? That's when there is nothing conflicting with it. Tamalo yima basar. Torah says the word basar. Ve'af pishisham beharis, even if there's a beharis. So this sounds a little bit more like Rashi. That's some form of a riboy.
Rashi sounds more like
a... Right, that's what I mean. That Rashi got it from the Gemara over here. Fine. So Amar Rava. Basically, what was the shach v'tayr of this Gemara? Like, the Gemara is back and forth trying to figure things out. What was the thought process of the Gemara? So Gemara says, Hachi kama. I would think that you should cut off the Mila, Even if this is a tzaras, umani mikayim misham benegat tzaras, misham mikayim mischos mila. Avol mila doiches at tzaras, but mila is doiches tzaras. My timer, the asim mikavah choymer. Okay, I'm going to learn that from a kavah choymer that mila, the mitzvah of mila, is doiches the iser of chatichas tzaras. Now again, we have to talk about this a little bit later. Who has the mitzvah of mila, and who has the iser of chatichas tzaras? So again, we have a baby, we have a moil, there's a father in the equation. Who's mitzvah? Who's iser? These are all things that we need to deal with b'li neder at some point. Right? We're going to have to get to all these things. Who's the aveira on? Is it on, obviously it can't be on the baby, it's probably on the one who does the cutting. The one who does the cutting is the moil. Is the moil the one who's doing the maisa mila? The maisa mitzvah? Okay, we'll leave that off for a different time. We're going to see. We're going to b'li neder touch upon that at some point. So the Gemara makes a kavu chaymer. What's this kavu chaymer? At least we got to hold on to our hats for this one. So that's more kavu chaymer. Uma Shabbos chamura. We know Shabbos is the most chamur. Shabbos is, you know, big deal. Mila doicha oisa, and Mila pushes away Shabbos because Mila is done on Shabbos. So tziras loy kol shukei. So if Mila is so powerful, it can beat out Shabbos. It could definitely beat out tziras. Now, what's the obvious kash on this kavachim? That's good. That's fine. I say. But what's the obvious kash? I figured someone for sure was going to ask me this. What was the chesh in the Gemara? How do I prove that Mila is Deichet Tzeras? Because Mila is Deichet Shabbos. And if Mila is Deichet Shabbos, it's Kol Shekin Deichet Tzeras. What's the obvious kasha?
I mean, it says in the Xeris HaKosov, and the Torah tells you to do it.
Yeah, okay.
By Shabbos.
No, but that's how we learn all these Lamudim. The problem is, what did the Gemara say? Mila is Deichet Tzeras, Bein Bizmanoi, Bein Shaloi Bizmanoi. But Mila is not Deichet Shabbos, Shaloi Bizmanoi. This is the Rajbus kasha. I for sure thought someone was going to ask me this. That's why I made sure to get this on the paper. Again, that was the cheshbon of the Gemara. The opening comment of the Gemara was that Mila is Deichet Tzeras no matter what day the baby gets gemalt. Day 5, day 8, day 12, whatever.
Not day 5.
I'm saying day 8 and onward.
Day 8 and onward.
Right. So
because Mila is Deichet Shabbos.
Only on day 8.
Only on the 8th day, because right. That's the day
that... Oh, but if you're basing the Kal V'chomer on the premise, Uma Mila Chomer Shehi Deichet Shabbos, we have a rule of Dayoy. You can only learn out as much as you have there. This is the Rajbus Kasha. Again, the Kasha is, how can you learn out to apply to even a Mila Shaloi Bezmanoi, if Mila Shaloi Bezmanoi does not have the Chumra of being Deichet Shabbos. So that's the Rajbus Kasha number 12. Frank the Rajba, Koshali. L'hai lishna, the ma'isi la b'kal v'choymer, the teinich mila b'zmanei de dechei Shabbos. That only helps you for mila b'zmanei. Shalei b'zmanei de dechei Shabbos min aloi. How are you then going to learn that mila shalei b'zmanei?
So once I know I could cut off the orla because of the tzaras on even Shabbos, so I don't need the rest of the lumen from Shabbos. Now I can do it on Shabbos. I can do it Monday, Tuesday.
So that's similar to what the Rajba's pshat is. The Rajba writes, and this might be a chiddush in Lamudim. He writes not a kasha. The nichali doesn't bother me. The kivin the ikka b'mila tzad dechuya Shabbos kula mila chashvinon kichamura. Once I find that there is a mila in the world that is doicha Shabbos, so I know mila beats out Shabbos. This specific mila doesn't beat out Shabbos. I don't need that. I need to know that mila b'mahusai, the mitzvah of mila is a mitzvah that can beat out Shabbos. So then it can beat out tzaras in all cases. Even though mila doesn't beat out Shabbos in all cases, but I need to prove you a chaymer. Right. So the chaymer, Zakti Rajba, is okay to be in one case.
That's what I said to you earlier. You said dayo.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. I didn't say I understand the Rajba. I said I'm just telling you what the Rajba says.
The whole reason the Kasha got off the ground is because Shabbos comes once a week. That's why.
Right.
That's why this answer on it works, because once it can do it, whether it was
that. Right, so it shows me that Mila has a power. Exactly. So basically, the Rajba is saying is don't get so nitty gritty. Right. Don't look at details. Right. Look at overall. Hold on a second. Now, but there's a. It gets better. The Rajba proves it. The Rajba says, because I think the Rajba was bothered with what we're asking now, like, you didn't really answer the question. If you show me Mila has a chaymer, good. So kol sheyeshba, when it has it, it has it. When it doesn't, it doesn't. Says the Rajba, no. He says, v'orcha de talmud b'hachin. This is the way the Gemara does things. Ukahi, where does he relate? Tell us to look. Kahi de resh perakam adivamis. Tells us to look in adivamis. Now, minun hasam, ashkan, da'asi asei, v'dechil oisa say greater. In the sugiv, asei dechil oisa say. The Gemara is back and forth. Right, when do you say I say derech loisa? When do you don't say I say derech loisa? Say so. The Gemara says I swear loisa is imoy karis minayin. How do you know I say derech loisa? Say when the loisa say carries with the karis. But I see the mifshut miminyan the mila who pesach. The Gemara wants to learn out from mila and pesach. They are both lavim that carry karis, and still I say derech loisa. Say fine. I frak the Rajba. The Mila of Pesach, the Dachina says Shabbos, they're all Deicha Shabbos.
What do you mean,
they're
Lavin? They're Assays
that have. Right. They carry, the whole package carries it, and they're still Deicha Shabbos. Frekta Rashi, oh, what are you talking about? Mila has Karis? Not every Mila has Karis. Frekta Rashi, Alma, Alpha gave the Mila's cotton, the Deicha Shabbos. What do you mean, Mila's cotton? You give a baby a bris and they ate. That's Assay, the Chalois Assay, Sheesh Bakaris. Where's the Karis? There's no Karis right now. Frek the Rajba, any Einish Karis. This takes us back to the old conversation we keep on talking about. When does the Karis kick in, and for whom does the Karis kick in? The Rajba is assuming that if a bris done for a baby on day 8, that's Assay, the Chalois Assay, and that's up against over there we're saying that Mila is special because it carries an Einish of Karis. No, it doesn't. Says Rashba, Mikomok and Kivin Sheikr Mila Hichamura Sheish Bakaris Avagat Mila's Kotin Bakaris in Hochanacha Prat Elacha Klal. So the Rashba is proving his idea that you don't nitpick. You look at the general, overall, basic idea. You look at it and say, yeah, this is a mitzvah that carries Karis. So you look at Mila is a mitzvah that carries Karis. Now what's the kasha? The two cases are not comparable. That's not talking about a Kal V'Chomer. When we have the world of Kal V'Chomer, we have a principle called Dayoy. You can only offer as much as it has. This Gemara and Yevamis is not talking about a Kavachimer, it's talking about a Mametzinu. You want to compare this to that and Pirchas, so maybe in that type of a Limud, this Svara flies. But when you're learning out X from Y and you can only be as strong as X is, so how do you have the right to go beyond it?
How is this a Dayo?
Because I can only learn out. When do I see that Shabbos Mila is Mochamer? Right. He's only Mochamer by Bismani. So I can only learn out that much.
With Shabbos, it's Docha on Bisman, and if not, you can do it tomorrow and you can get the bris accomplished. If you're going to say over here, and I don't know if this allows you to change Dayo exactly, but at least I can say logically why you have to extend it to the next point, because if you to the next level of even Shlo Bismano, if you wouldn't allow the Tsaras Shlo Bismano cut off, you'll never be able to do the bris because, I mean, I don't know.
Eventually it gets better.
How do you know it gets better?
I don't think it's better. Again, that's not the cheshbon of the Gemara. You're adding additional reasons to why the halacha should be that way.
Because,
but that's not what the Gemara does.
Because that's the only time, because that's an exception, and it's not ma'akav in the bris.
No, but that's...
Here, if you're not allowed to do bisman, and somehow I let this man go by mistake or by whatever, or deliberately, now I'm in day 9... So what are you going to tell me? I don't know. I may never be able to do this.
I'm not disagreeing with the sword, but that's not what the Gemara says. I'm working with the Gemara. The Gemara says it's a Kal V'Chomer. So you got to work with the Kal V'Chomer's rules. So you're saying there's a svara that should say you should always, maybe. I'm not disagreeing. But I'm just working with the Gemara. In the context of the Gemara, it seems to be a shvur. Okay, Belina, the next week we'll talk more about